portion of the book of Isaiah, but this morning we're going to zero in on Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26. The ushers are going to walk down the aisle for just a moment. Their goal is to give you a Bible if you need one. So just raise your hand. They would count it a privilege to pass the Bible over to you. That way you might study along with us. And if you need to keep it, it's all yours. No charge for it, of course. Just take it and use it and wear it out. Well, the Bibles are being passed out. Let me just mention something. As the pastor, I have the privilege of seeing God do all kinds of neat things. This last week was one of those. We have a family here, Vince Wujek and his wife Lori, and two kids attend here. Vince and Lori are part of our greeters crew. You can always tell when Vince is greeting out there because he likes to wear his tie. And at Calvary Chapel, a tie sticks out, so, you know. But he's always out there with his tie and a big smile and all. And also, he teaches the children, the fourth and fifth graders, I believe, on Wednesday night with the Calvary Kids Club. He's real active teaching the kids there, and he's always loving on them and telling them how much the Lord loves them, and he loves them and all. And just a really great family. But it was an interesting, rough week for Vince. He was at work and got sick, and while I don't need to go into too much detail for time's sake and all here, suffice it to say that Vince got real sick. Came down with a bacteria called a flesh-eating bacteria, and it really began to take a toll on him. They tried surgery on him midweek, but he had a couple of cardiac arrests during the surgery, so he had to stop. Very critical condition, rough shape. Friday, they went ahead and operated again through much prayer and all, and it was great to see the prayer teams mobilize and all, and just through much prayer, that surgery went better, and I understand it was very successful in what they were after, but Vince is still in very critical condition. We're asking for your continued prayers for him and his family and all he's going through. But God did a definite work, nothing short of a miracle, in causing the surgery Friday to go so well and for them to have the successes they did in that surgery. And so we praise God for that. But again, we don't want to make light of what he's still going through and what's up ahead for him. But we're praying for his complete recovery. So we invite you to be a part of that with us as we lift Vince and his family up to the Lord. You know, this isn't a message, by the way, but just as I said, it was really great to see so many people spur into action and pray for Vince as he's been going through this. I get to see things going on around here because I am the pastor and I kind of get to hear about different things, but we're of such a size now that sometimes you may not hear about some of the needs or some of the miracles and some of the neat things going on around here. May I encourage you, if you're not involved in some of the smaller groups, really consider it. Give us an opportunity to get to know you. Give us an opportunity to connect with you. It's through those small groups that so often we're able to rally around one another at such a time as what Vince is going through. Be it a home fellowship, be it through one of the ministries to get involved with around here, be it through the teen center. You know, at the teen center, once a month now, we're having these family nights where we're all getting together for the express purpose of just getting to know each other better. Now, the teen center is there for that for a lot of times after service and all. But we're especially having times where we're going to focus on getting to know each other better. What I'm saying is, if you're not involved in some way with one of those groups, please consider doing so. And that way we can just kind of connect and pass God's love on to one another. Secondly, as I mentioned, prayer really began to kick into gear for Vince. And we do have a prayer list here. If you'd like to be on the prayer list, and all you got, if you have an email address, all you got to do is let the office know. Just call the office and let them know that you'd like to be on the prayer list. They just email it out. We found that to be an effective way. And so you'll get all the prayer requests and the updates. You get to hear about all the exciting things going on. And so consider being on the prayer list also, the email list, towards that end. Again, I guess I'm saying no shortage of places to get plugged in. We invite you to do so. Isaiah chapter 26. We're going to start in verse 3. Isaiah 26, 3. Where we read, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength." If you're here last week, I touched on a little bit of this last week, but you didn't have to be here to get out of this morning what I believe God would have for all of us. But it's no news flash to you that we live in stressful times. There is no shortage of things that would want to pull us apart at the seams, if possible. There are storms all around us, externally and internally. The storms of political events, cultural storms, personal storms. All that external stress and chaos that seems to be so prevalent in our age. But of course, not just those external things, but there's a lot that goes on internally within us. The storms that can come up inside. Relationship stress, emotional struggles, physical ailments. There's no shortage of potential crisis all around and possibly within us. In this awesome text that we have before us this morning, Isaiah sets before us a key, a truth, an eternal truth, that if we can but lay hold of it and act on it, live it, we can have peace in spite of the storms that we face. It's an interesting thing. It isn't what we face that determines our level of peace. It's what those things find in us, or better, what they find us being about. This morning, how's your peace level? I invite you, consider this a personal invitation this morning, an invitation from God to you. Because He does know what you face, what you have been, are, or will be going through, and He has an invitation to you. He invites you to find or grow deeper in the truth of this promise. You will keep Him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because He trusts in you. I've called our time together this morning, our purpose and His peace. Let's pray. Lord, we've come to that time, Lord, that time in which our heart's desire is to hear from You, to particularly, Lord, to let You take Your word now and plant it deep in our hearts. Lord, thank You for the time of worship. Thank You for drawing us close, Lord. Thank You that You know every one of us, everything we go through, and thank You that once again we see, Lord, You have an answer. You have a hope. You have a peace. And You have the means to have that peace. Would You help us, Lord? Help us. Help us hear You. Help us leave here having really laid hold of what it is You're trying to show us. Lord, we thank You for touching Vince this week. Thank You for guiding the doctors through the surgeries and all. But Lord, we know he's still critical. We pray for his continued healing. We pray for guidance and strength and comfort for the whole family. And Lord, not just for Vince, but for many in our fellowship going through rough times, Lord, again, may Your hand of encouragement and healing and comfort be on each one. And help us all, Lord. Help us this morning to be hearers and then doers of that which You're about to show us. Lord, help our hearts to hear Your heart this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Look at verse 3. I'm going to put it up on the screen here for us. Verse 3 of Isaiah 26, where we read, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Well-known verse for many people. We don't use some of this language, like words like stay so much today, but still a fairly well-known verse. It contains a truth, an awesome promise. And because of that, I want us to look close. I want to begin by looking real close at this verse because I do believe it holds the key for our peace. What a promise this is. Let's take it step by step. The first part, you will keep him in perfect peace. The "you," of course, speaks about the Lord there. It's the Lord doing this keeping, I mean, the one doing this work. And it says, "You will keep him in perfect peace." First of all, I want us to consider that word "keep." In the Hebrew, it's a word to mean to guard as with a garrison. It's that idea of setting around a city a garrison of soldiers whose job it is to protect those within. And that's the idea here. This is like a city kept by a strong garrison of soldiers. Not only that, but we read the definition for peace here. It's the word shalom. Again, most of us are familiar with that word. Peace. A deep and constant peace. It's a peace on the inside as well as external. It's a peace of conscience, a peace at all times, a peace in all events. So we're beginning this morning by saying there's a promise here that God will keep, He'll guard as with a garrison of soldiers, the person, this person, this certain someone, He'll guard them in perfect, deep, constant peace. So that's what God will do, but whom is He going to do it for? To whom is this promise given? How can we be the Him of that verse? God will keep him in perfect peace. That's God's part. But how can we become the Him there? So now we come to our part, the second part of the verse, whose mind is stayed on you. Is that person whose mind is stayed on the Lord? And now we come to a step, if not the critical step, if we're to have real peace. First of all, do you see the word mind there? The person whose mind is stayed on the Lord is the one who's going to have this perfect peace guarding them. The word translated mind here, and this is so important, is not just referring to your thought processes. It's not just addressing simply a mental state. True, our English translators here use the word mind. But it's a word that really, in the Hebrew, means purpose of life. Now it begins to really take on some significance, take on some meat here for us. Expositors, Bible commentary, points out that this Hebrew word was widely used at this time to express the whole attitude and direction of one's life. So it's translated mind here, but it really means what you're all about. God will keep a certain someone in perfect peace. And what will mark that person's life, what's going to be our part, what's going to usher this perfect peace in, is this person whose purpose of life, what they're all about, is the Lord. Add to that a definition for the word stay, because a lot of us aren't real familiar with that. It's a word to mean to prop, to lean upon, or to take hold of. So there's this person who God makes a promise to. If this person will but be all about, have the purpose of life, of leaning on, trusting in, relying upon the Lord. Then the last part of the verse says, because he trusts in you. For the person whose purpose of life is the Lord, they're all about the Lord. There will be a trusting in him. They will cast all on the Lord. There'll be faith. There'll be an active faith by that person. Now, if we take those definitions, each of those expanded definitions for those words, and place them in our verse this morning, we could read it as something like this. We might say that you will keep, guard as a garrison, him in perfect peace, peace in all situations, whose mind is stayed, meaning his purpose of life is you, because he trusts in you. Maybe that's why the Amplified Version, there's a version of the Bible, a translation of the Bible called the Amplified Version. And what they do is they frequently will take the word and translate it, and they'll put in parentheses next to the word the fuller definition. It helps you, it amplifies on the translation, helps you understand it better. And maybe that's why in verses 3 and 4 of our text this morning in Isaiah, the Amplified Version puts it like this. It says, you will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and its character, is stayed on you, because he commits himself to you and hopes confidently in you. So trust in the Lord. Commit yourself to him. Lean on him. Hope confidently in him forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock, the rock of ages. That is the Amplified Version. That's what they've placed the definitions, the expanded, the amplified meaning of the words next to the words to flesh it out more, to give it more oomph. And we can see now, as we worked our way slowly through this, that that's what the Lord is saying here. That's the promise. See, maybe you've always thought that your peace, your level of peace, or the lack of peace that you were experiencing, was dependent upon what you were experiencing. Maybe you've always thought that, okay, my peace depends on what's going on around me. But now we see that instead our peace depends on what's going on within us. It depends on what we're all about. Let's consider a couple other verses this morning I think will help us lay hold of this awesome promise. Leave a marker or your bulletin right there in Isaiah 26. Turn to the New Testament, to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians is, midway or so through your New Testament. It's a letter of Paul to a church in a city called Philippi at that time. And he's writing to this Philippian, so go to Philippians chapter 4. We'll start at verse 6. Philippians 4, 6. I love the sound of rustling Bible pages. We want you to be able to be familiar with your Bible, to be comfortable and look into it for yourself. So no matter where you are, no matter what's going on, you'll go right there and do just what you're doing right now. Philippians 4, starting at verse 6, where Paul writes, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So here we see the role of prayer. When anxieties start to rise, when those fears start coming along, God's not down on us for that, but he's saying don't stay there, don't settle for that. Instead, he's saying what? Bring them to him. Cast your cares on him, because he cares so much for you. When he says, be anxious for nothing, or don't be anxious now, instead pray. Pray about everything. And the person who trusts in the Lord will cast their cares on the Lord. That's the idea. You'll be praying. That's what this prayer is about. And what will be the result, it says? And there'll be a peace, the peace of God. And it'll pass understanding. It won't make sense in the natural mind. But it will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Now go down to verse 9. And I'm going to put it up here on the board for us, on the overheads. Verse 9. Paul then says, "The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you." These things. Paul was able to point to the way he lived his life. He walked his talk and talked his walk, and what you saw, what you got, and he was tracking with God. He was able to say, hey, you guys, the things that you learned and received and heard and saw in me. But please notice something. It wasn't just enough to learn them. It isn't just enough to be here this morning and hear me share this and to kind of intellectually take it in and stop there. It's a key step. It's a step, but you stop there, you'll come short. It's not enough just to learn it. What does it say? It says, what you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these what? Do. And in my notes, I have that big capital D-O, do, and the peace of God will be with you. Not just learn them, not just hear them, you gotta do them. It's in the do. And that do is the same idea as in of the mind that stayed from our Isaiah text. Remember we said it, the person whose purpose of life is all about the Lord. It's the same idea there. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Stay in your New Testament, but go turn left over to the first book of the New Testament. Go to chapter 7 of Matthew. Go to the very end of Matthew 7. Go to verse 24. Matthew 7, 24. Here in Matthew 7, indeed through 5 through 7 here, Jesus has been sharing what's come to be called the Sermon on the Mount. Think of it. God came to walk this earth, to live, to die for our sins, to rise again and conquer sin and death. But also while he's here, he taught. God the Son, God incarnate, was walking this earth. And he sat down one day on a mountain, on a hill there, and all the followers are all gathered around. And God begins to share his heart. And that's the Sermon on the Mount. Well, he gets to the end of sharing his heart, and he summarizes it. He's getting down to the conclusion now, the summary of it all. And in verse 24, he says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Which house withstood the storms? See, every house experienced the storm. The storm didn't discriminate between one house and another. It comes in and it starts beating against every house. And house, of course, here stands for, it's a type of, an example of a life. What that life is built on. Well, which house stood? What's he tell us? Verse 24, Matthew 7, 24. Jesus says, "Therefore, because of this, what I've said to you, whoever hears these sayings of mine and really thinks about them a lot." No. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and talks about them with his friends. No. Whoever hears these things of mine, these sayings of mine, and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. That's the life that will withstand the storms. That's the life that will have peace in the midst of the storms. The one who hears and does. It's the same parallel we just read, as Paul pointed out, and the same thing in Isaiah text. It's the person whose purpose of life, what they're all about, is anchored on the Lord. It's that person who's going to withstand the storms. That's the one who's going to have a life guarded by his perfect peace. Not that storms are fun, and not that they don't concern us, and we can get shaken, but we're not shaken to the core. We have a peace in the midst of the storm because we know he's in control. We know these eternal things about him. We know his plans unfold. We know all this. When we hear and do, when we walk in that place of obedience, when we are tracking with him and being all about him, we can stand when these storms beat against us. Both heard, it was the one that did. It's that do aspect. That's the one who's going to have the perfect peace. Go back to your Isaiah passage now. Isaiah 26. Hopefully you left your marker or bulletin in there. Look now at verse 4. After it said, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you," there's this call, this cry. Trust in the Lord forever. For in Yah, the Lord is everlasting strength. The Lord there is us, Jehovah. Yah is a shortened version of that. Basically, it's like saying, "For in the Lord," it's a repeat, is the idea. "For in Yah, the Lord, Jehovah, God, is everlasting strength." Trust the Lord. Lean on him. Stay your mind on him. Make him your purpose of life. For he's what? It says, our everlasting strength. The word translated strength there really might be better translated rock. If you have a New International Version, it says the rock eternal. Even my study Bible down the bottom says rock of ages. That's why it had it there in the Amplified Version we looked at a while ago. Which corresponds to exactly what Jesus said. He is the rock. We should trust in him because he is the rock. And he will be our foundation so that we can withstand the storms of this life. Everybody has a purpose of life. You get out of bed in the morning, for some reason, there's something motivates you to get out of bed each day. For some, it's money, power, prestige, fame, whatever. There's also many things that could be a person's purpose for living, can it? You're going to have some purpose. You're trusting in something every day. You have some purpose of living. If it's anything other than the rock, Jesus, and what he says, then you are on sinking sand. And God in his love isn't down on you for that. He's saying, I love you too much to see you stay there. Come on, I want you to know that perfect peace in all that you go through. Will you make your purpose of living me, he says? Will you be all about me? Not that you've arrived or you're perfect or anything like that. But will you have it as the goal to know him and to know him better and to do his will the very best you can and all? That's the person that's going to know this peace. Look at verse 3 again. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Notice, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Notice the correlation between staying your mind, which we've seen means making the Lord your purpose of living, giving him the driver's seat, doing it his way. Notice the correlation between making him the purpose of your life and trusting in him. The two are related. If you really trust something, you're going to act upon it, look to it. Real trusting will result in a doing. I can stand back and look at that bridge and say that, yes, I trust that bridge to hold me. But at that point, it's just theory. I'm saying it. But when I walk out on that bridge, now I'm living my trust. I'm living my beliefs. When I walk out on it and say, I trust this bridge to hold me, that's a whole different statement than when I was back there just looking at it. Too many people stand afar from the Lord. Oh, I believe he will hold me. I trust in him. But when the storm comes, he finds us looking to our resources and our wisdom and our strength and our plots and our plans and all these things, showing us that what we said wasn't the reality. But the person out on the bridge, when they say it, it's a living truth. Their life is all about it. And they're the ones that are going to know the bridge in a whole different way than the one who stands back and simply looks at it. The one who is resting on the Lord, makes their purpose in the Lord. The one on the Lord is going to know the perfect peace. The one standing off to the side just speculating isn't going to know the perfect peace. It's that one who has decided to trust. See, there's that correlation. Whose mind is stayed, whose purpose of life is on the Lord, because he has decided, Lord, I'm going to trust in you. Here's the driver's seat. I'm going to go your way. I'm going to do it your way. Again, I can say that I trust something, but it isn't until the storm comes that really reveals if I'm willing to stand there on it and trust it. Look at verse 3 again. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Isaiah 26:3. It is a great check verse, a great litmus test for how you're doing with the Lord, for your trust level, for your peace, so to speak. You see, if, as this teaches us, that there's a perfect peace for the person whose purpose of life is the Lord, that will result in a trusting in him, which will bring a peace into my life, his peace into my life, if I therefore lack peace, then I need to examine what my purpose of life is at that very moment. What am I really leaning on, trusting in at that moment? What an awesome thing. God here gives us a promise and a tool that we might assess, that we can let him use everything that comes our way to see how we're doing with him and to drive us deeper into him. And it helps us abandon all self-effort and rely upon our rock. And so when these things come along, I can examine, What is my purpose in this circumstance? What am I looking to in this moment? What's my purpose, my goal in this situation? Is my goal to win and get the better of the other person? Is my goal to get my way? Then I will lack peace because of that. How often is our anger, truth be told, really because we aren't getting our way? We don't approach the situation seeking, you know, we might pray in the morning, Lord, your will be done on earth as is in heaven. But as far as my life, Lord, let it be my will done on earth. Because, Lord, I got plans and I got an agenda and I'm, Lord, you can, Lord, leave it to me. I know how to get there. I know how to pull this out. I know how to get this to happen. And so off we go, and all of a sudden something gets in our way, and up comes the frustration. Up comes the anger. It's not going the way I want. God has blessed me in many, 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 we go on forever saying that, ways with my wife. And one neat way is how Kathy is so adept of letting a storm come and saying, I wonder what God wants to do in this. Most of us go, what a storm, and we get so upset, or I want my way, and you're getting... But wait a minute. God's still on the throne. He's still working. Lord, what do you want to do in this? How do you want to use me in it, or it in me, or what do you... When God all of a sudden takes a left turn, and you thought he was going straight, you can be angry that your plans aren't happening. Or you can say, whoa, I wonder what he's going to do. I wonder what he wants to do here. I wonder why this is going that way. And see, when I'm seeking his will, I can relax. Indeed, the person who's about their own will is angry and frustrated, has no peace. But the person whose purpose of life is the Lord, and seeking God's will in everything, then when it takes a certain sudden turn or something unexpected comes along, and not that even sometimes fun, but we can say, but Lord, I know you're working here, so help me see you. Help me know you better in this. And that's the person who's going to know the peace, and they're going to see God work in ways that the other person won't, because they're busy being bummed out. And they're all mad and angry because God's not doing it their way. But I can have a peace when I say, wait a minute, God's still in charge. Oh, I wonder what's wrong. And you start tuning in to God better. And you find, hey, I got a peace in this. This is pretty cool stuff. That's the idea here. He will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Well, I'd like to read to you a quote by a guy named Jerry Bridges. He said, you cannot trust God in isolation from all other areas of your life. To grow in your ability to trust God in times of adversity, you must first lay a solid foundation of a daily personal relationship with him. Only as you know him intimately and seek to obey him completely will you be able to establish a trust relationship with God. End quote. He says you can't trust God in isolation from the events of your life. Those are the opportunities to show and to reveal what we're really trusting in. And he says if you want to grow in your ability to trust God in times of adversity, you got to be laying that solid foundation. You got to have a purpose of life that's all about the rock. You got to be on the rock when the storm hits. And as he says, only as you know him personally, intimately, and seek to obey him completely, will you be able to establish that trust relationship with him. So once again, we see it. There is the do. The staying of the mind. The making God the purpose of your life. But if we'll do that, then God sets before us this promise. He will keep us in perfect peace. What an awesome thing that is. It doesn't say to him who has an IQ of at least 150 or more. We'd be hurting on that one. Most of us. Those who have a certain appearance, you're cute. Those who are in the in crowd, those who have the right education, those who drive the right car, those who have the right house, to him he will give perfect peace. It doesn't say that. Indeed, it's contrary to all of that. It's something available to each person. It's simply to that person who says, Lord, here I am. I'm going to be all about you. And not that we do it perfectly, but we have a desire to. We seek him. We just crave a closer and closer fellowship with him. And anyone can do that. Thus, anyone can have this perfect peace. So now it comes down to us, our part. And so I ask you, who or what will each moment of your life find? What will those things find as the purpose of your life? What will the storms reveal as to where your foundation is? What are you trusting in today? I'd like to take a moment and speak to each of you who are considering the claims of Christ, but you've not received what he did for you on the cross. There's not been that personal invitation by you. There wasn't that moment in time that you can point to and say, yes, I realized I was a sinner and Christ died for me. But you're considering it, you're thinking about it. Let me encourage you. Before you can have the peace of God, you must have peace with God. See, the reality is man rebelled. And man is at enmity with God. There's a separation. We are at war with God, whether you realize it or not. There's been a separation. But he came to conquer that. He came to span that gap. He came to reconcile himself to us and us to him. If you have the peace of God, you've got to have peace with God. If you haven't yet received him, that's where you got to start. Your eternal destiny, where you spend eternity, it depends on what you do about the cross and what Jesus did for you there. Invite him. He invites you to receive him. You need to invite him in and receive what he did for you. But now to those of us who have, by God's mercy and grace, he's gotten hold of your heart and you know you've received Christ as your Savior. Do you know that it's possible to have peace with God and still not have the peace of God in your life? Indeed, that's why I've slowed down so much today, because I find it very common. And many a person, they're a Christian, they receive Christ, they have peace with God, but they don't experience the peace of God. Because truth be told, we're still so much about us. We still look to our ways. We go with what everybody else is doing. Something we learn from parents or friends or some other book or some whatever. And we still think so often our wisdom can hack it and our means and our planning and all. And we go at it and boom, down we go. And of course, I count it a privilege to pray with you when the sand has shifted under you. But you didn't have to be there. And so it's on my heart today to remind, let God remind me and all of us, there is a refuge, there is a rock. When we seek our will, when we do things our way, when we try to tackle things with our own strength, with our wisdom, the result will be fear and anxiety. And in short, the answer will be no peace. What is your real purpose for living? Churchianity isn't going to keep the storms out. Works, church attendance, they'll have their place, but they don't save us. They don't keep the storms out. It's what I'm anchored on. It's what is the real purpose of my life. It's where my mind is stayed. What the purpose of my life is about. Your level of peace will help reveal to you where your mind is really stayed, what really is your purpose of living. But there's a promise, and it's awesome. There's a promise of peace, a perfect peace, available to all. You, the Lord, will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. We make the Lord the purpose of our lives, not so that he'll love us, but because he already does. We make him the purpose of our life because we've learned that's the best for us. It is our refuge and strength. It is our peace. It's the path to get me where I want to go. As we do, not just hear, but do, as we make him the purpose of our lives, As we are all about Jesus, He gives us this peace. What an awesome promise. His promise, set our purpose of life on Him, and He sets His peace on us. I pray that each day, each trial, each storm finds us right here in verse 3. Mind stayed on Him, trusting in Him. In a moment, we're going to go outside the door. We've heard, what will life find us doing? Let's stand. Is this the morning for you to have peace with God? To receive Christ as Savior? There'll be prayer partners available by the prayer room as you wrap it up. Go get prayer. Let them know that you know today is the day you want to begin that journey. You want life, eternal life in Him. But believer, what about you? It doesn't matter what you tell me, really. I mean, God knows. And His love is trying to show you, hey, come on, I got some peace for you. Come on, you're settling for something. You're settling for sand. Maybe it's time to come up and get some prayer, believer, and get back on that rock in terms of what your purpose of life is and what's going to govern your activities. Time to be doers as well as hearers. And that's my prayer. As we head out now, you'll find us as just a group of believers doing as well as hearing. Just making our purpose of life, being about Him, seeking to find and do His will in everything. If we'll do that, there's a promise. What an awesome promise. He'll keep you in His perfect peace. Lord, thank You for that. You know what we face. And You also know, Lord, so often how we try to handle them. Running around, taking our best shot, muddling through, going with what things we've learned from things around us, and You hurt for us. And so, Lord, in Your love, You set before us today very clearly how we might have peace in everything. Lord, thank You that You're not down on us just because the fears rise. We get anxious, but thank You that You don't want us to stop there, that You give us this answer today that we can indeed fix our minds on You. We can make You the purpose of life. We can give You the driver's seat and know Your peace. Thank You for that. Now, Lord, help us to be doers. May it all be to Your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.